We're continuing our early summer series today by looking at the three important areas of our life together at Kensington Baptist Church. There are many things we could talk about, but as a church we feel these three particular areas, this time, these months, the moment. And they're there on your sheet, either on your chair or in front of you. You'll see that little handout. Just the early part of the summer term, we've been thinking about these three areas, of gospel culture, where we think about loving Jesus, loving one another, loving the church. So our life together, what should it embrace, what should it look like? We want to love Jesus, love his word, love the church. We want to reach Easton. We're privileged, friends, to meet in this building, in this place, in this part of Bristol, Sunday by Sunday. And we want to reach our locality. Welcome in. That's what we're thinking about this morning. And as we go out, and then also growing diversity as we meet together. We're all nations, all kinds of backgrounds and cultures and nations and all ages. So this week we're thinking about reaching east and welcoming in. Next week, going out. Let's read the Bible, shall we, together? Romans chapter 15. So Romans chapter 15. In these blue Bibles in the room, that's on page 1141. So page 1141. I'm going to read to you from the big number 15. And that stands for chapters. And just, I'm going to read seven verses, so from the small number 1 down to the small number 7. Romans chapter 15 on page 1141. As we think about this question of reaching east and welcoming in, being a welcoming people. A man called Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote these words. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Well, I'm going to keep reading, but just pause there. So why do we read our Bibles? Because they point us to Jesus, and here we read, they encourage us. They give us hope. Verse 5, small number 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 is our verse for this morning. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, we love that psalm that we saw with the young people earlier, that speaks so magnificently and wonderfully of your word. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So Lord, we pray this morning for a refreshing. We pray for wisdom. We plead for joy. Give us light, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in his book, Becoming a Welcoming Church, Tom Rayner tells the true story of a woman called Ella. Ella was determined to get her three children and herself the church. She'd gone a couple of years without going. She followed Jesus, but she'd gone a couple of years without going to church, and that is lethal. That's lethal. And so she'd passed a church, she'd seen the kind of sign and remembered its name, and she went home and jumped on the website and saw that the church started at 10:15. That's where she was going. So she headed to church. Now, what she didn't realize was that the church had changed its time. So it didn't meet at 10:15, it met at 10 o'clock. So Ella thought she was arriving 10 minutes early, and she was actually arriving 5 minutes late. And didn't realize that the church hadn't changed the website details. When she arrived, she didn't really know where to park. There weren't really many signs that made it clear about where she should go and where she should sit, toilets, where her kids should go. It had been raining, so the kids were wet. One of them needed the toilet, so by the time she managed to get to the building, she was now like 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. There were no welcomers on the door because the service had started and the doors had been closed. And so she kind of had to make her way into the building and sit down. And by the time she actually sat down, the service was like 15 minutes in, and suddenly the kids were off somewhere, and she just didn't really know what was going on. No one really got alongside her and said hello or just helped her settle. After the service, no one really spoke to her. She kind of just slowly drifted out of the church building. One thing she did do was she signed the welcome card that was on the seat. Oh, I wish we had one of those. We need to do that. And she signed the welcome card, and she popped it in the box at the back of church. But the weeks and the months went by, and no one got in contact with her. Now, as it happened, that's a true story. As it happened, Ella did try again. And a few months later, she went to another church, and praise God, she was warmly welcomed there, and she settled. But she did say to a friend that it was a bit touch and go. It was a bit like, would she just think, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to church. It was bad experience. I'm going to stop. Now, as we think about being a welcoming church, like, that is a pretty challenging, true story, isn't it? Like, we think of us gathered here this morning, and we think perhaps of new people coming into church. In the last few months, we've had many, many new people arriving, joining in our church services. If you're a newcomer here this morning, then welcome. It's really, really good to see you. My name's Simon. I'm one of the elders here. Please come and chat to me afterwards, and do chat to people around you. We hope you feel really welcomed here at Kensington Baptist Church. Welcoming people is really, really important, isn't it? As we think about our life together, as a church family, how we welcome people in amongst us is so, so important. So, so important. Think of Ella's experience. We don't want that to be the experience of people as they meet with us. Now, we meet on all kinds of occasions and situations as a church. We meet like this on a Sunday morning. This is like our main meeting, where we sing and pray and spend time together, where we gather around God's Word, where we think about God's Word, where kids do that in small groups downstairs and behind us. And we eat together. This is a really, really important time. But then we also do meet at other parts of the day and the week. We will meet this evening at 6:30 for 1 hour. And one of our elders, Andy Thomas, is going to open the Bible and share to us from John's Gospel. If you're free for 1 hour, 6:30 to 7:30, what a blessed time that would be. We meet to pray. We meet on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for small groups. We meet on Tuesdays and Fridays. Fridays meet youth group. Thursdays, there's a little rainbow. We meet on all kinds of times and occasions. Now, how do we welcome each other? How do we welcome newcomers? Those people who've turned up for the first time. What an important question. And so as we think about it, it would be really easy. So I described that picture of Ella, and we might be feeling a bit convicted, like, how do we welcome those around us? It would be really easy just to kind of be tempted just to hit each other over the head and say, we need to do better, church, and Simon, you need to do better, and we need to be more organized. But that that's not going to get to the fundamental questions of the heart, is it? Like when we meet together here as a people and we see a newcomer, we see a stranger, we see an outsider, like what's going to move us towards that person in love and welcome? It's going to be the issue of the heart. We've got to sort that out at the level of the heart so that our hearts, that's the thing that's going to change and influence our actions. So as you can see on the sheet, you can see the direction of our time together now over the next few minutes. Right there in the bottom of the sheet, we see these 3 points. We're going to think about welcomed in Christ. That's how what changes our hearts, how we've been welcomed in Christ. Welcoming one another, how we are as a church family, briefly. And then finally, as we thought about that, as we built up who we are in Christ, who we are as a church family, how we then welcome the newcomer. So, firstly, welcomed in Christ. In Paul's letter to the Romans that I read out just before I prayed, hopefully you've got that in front of you. So have Romans 15 still open in front of you. Maybe that little sheet just resting on the front. Right, in Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul has been talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. All that God has done through his son Jesus to make himself known to us and the way back into a relationship with that God. And he's described it, we call it the gospel. Gospel means good news, the announcement of all that God has done in Christ. And then in chapters 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, Paul has been working out the results of that, working out the fruits of that good news in the lives of people who trust in the Lord Jesus. So he said, look, it's going to make you, as you trust Jesus, it's going to make you want to serve God's people. Oh, when you follow Christ, you'll want to serve one another. Use the gifts that God has given you. It's going to make you love your enemies. When people attack you and insult you, you will respond in love. It's going to make you submit to the government. Our whole chapter 13, speaks to how we respond to those who are in authority, the government of the day. And in chapters 14 and 15, Paul says, it's going to make you, the good news of Jesus will make you understand how you resolve your differences with one another. You all believe in Jesus. Oh, his life and death and resurrection, though we don't compromise on that, we're all agreed on that. But some of the other areas of our Christian lives, perhaps how we do church, some wisdom issues, how we our lives together, we're going to be gentle with one another. We're going to be careful with how we treat one another. And that's what Paul has been talking about. Look down in your Bibles in chapter 14, the big number 14. You see, he says there, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. And then he describes what that means, how we are gentle with one another over disagreements that we might have. And he has an old argument that we won't be looking at, but he climaxes, look in verse 7 of chapter 15, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, keep looking at that verse 7. Most of the other translations have welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. The Living Translation, the Living Bible, puts it even stronger. The Living Bible says this for verse 7 of chapter 15. Warmly welcome each other into church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified. The basis, the foundation for our welcome, the welcome that we give to a newcomer, someone who's brand new, someone who's been coming for a few weeks, few months, the basis for that is the welcome we have received in Jesus Christ. How we welcome one another, how we welcome the outsider, the newcomer, displays what we think about how Christ has welcomed us. That is deeply challenging. We could just stop now and meditate on that, brothers and sisters, dearest friends in Christ. How we welcome each other, how we welcome the newcomer, will display what we think of Christ's welcome of us. Think of how the Lord Jesus Christ has welcomed us. All that he has done for us. You know, you can assess or see the nature of someone's relationship, right, by the welcome that they give. If it's a brief hello or the shake of a hand or a polite comment and then you move on. That is far different from, I don't know, some friends who haven't seen each other for years and years, really good friends, and then the way that they welcome and greet each other. Right? Remember those, see the programs on TV, you know, where Hilda and Mildred were, you know, school friends, and then Hilda went to live in Sydney, and they haven't seen each other for 60 years, and then it's on TV, and Hilda's speaking about Mildred, and then suddenly Mildred walks into the room. And there's tears, and joy, and gladness at friends, and there's an amazing welcome. They hug each other, they delight in each other. The nature of the relationship determines the welcome. Now we, brothers and sisters, have been welcomed in Christ. The Lord Jesus, the one who loves us so much, he left the glories of heaven and became a man for us. That's all the Lord Jesus has done. The one who loves us so much that he gave his life for rebels like us. The one who loves us so much that while we were still enemies, we wanted nothing to do with Jesus, we didn't know Jesus, he came and loved us. The one who came and looked for us, like a shepherd looking for his lost sheep. This is the welcome that Jesus has given to us, that we have received. And the Bible says, let that welcome, the joy of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Lord Jesus, be the motivation that causes you to welcome one another, to welcome the newcomer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. That's the foundation for our welcome. As Christ has welcomed us, so we welcome one another. And that's my second point, isn't it? Look, number one, we've been welcomed in Christ. Number two, we welcome one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So the large majority of this people, as I look on all your faces this morning, the vast majority, we meet here each week. All right? And we want to love and praise the name of Jesus. We're part of a church family. We call ourselves a church family. And as Christ has welcomed us, so we welcome one another as family together. Actually, a few chapters earlier in Romans, Paul has described what that family welcome and love looks like. In Romans chapter 12, he's written these words. Listen to this. If you want to flip back a few pages, look at Romans 12 verse 9 and be blown away by these words. If you want to think about the marks of our life together here this morning, Romans 12 verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Bump into a needy person in church. Share with them. Practice hospitality. There we have it. As we receive the welcome of Christ, so brothers and sisters, we welcome one another. Do you see how love runs through those verses? Just a life of love and delight in each other. Like, you know, like blood, like runs through our bodies, isn't it? animates and gives life to all our bodies. So love, the love of the Lord Jesus runs through the body of the church. Listen, the Price family, myself and Sharon and Ted and Phoebes, we've got a young family living in the annex. So we've got a little granny flat next to our house. We bought it so Sharon's father could come and live with us. Sadly, as most of you will know, Graham died a few years ago. And so now we've got a young family living in it called Tim and Anna. Tim and Anna are on home assignment from the mission field. And they have just welcomed, right, they just welcomed little baby Jonah into their home. So about 10 days ago, Anna gave birth and Jonah arrived. And can I tell you, they have welcomed their son well, right? I want to tell you all, the welcome has been a loving one, all right? And Mum and Dad love their son. It seems to me, right, that it's not too much for them to do anything for their son Jonah. They provide all his meals. I think that's very hospitable. So he gets all his meals. They provide all his clothes. So the young boy doesn't have to worry about any of his dressing himself. He just kind of like lies back and enjoys that. Do you know what? They carry him around the place. So he just goes from destination to destination, and you just see a house that is full of love. Tim and Anna are devoted to their son. They honor him. They are full of zeal. And actually, it's true of any healthy household, isn't it? Any parents who are doing their jobs well, we see that. Nothing is too much. Nothing is too difficult. So, with that in our minds, how about the way that we welcome one another? Brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we care for one another? What is our devotion? How do we remember one another from Sunday to Sunday? Our welcome, our care for one another, doesn't begin and end on a Sunday, kind of 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. What kind of family is that? No, we want to be caring for one another in each other's lives, remembering. One of the ways that we do that is through praying for one another. So the pastoral update, which is our main way that we communicate with each other as a church, you can receive it by email. If you haven't got that, then please do speak to me or speak to somebody around you. We can get you in touch with how to register for the pastoral update. It's an email that comes out every week. It contains all kinds of information about our church family, how we can care, how we can love. One of the things it has is a prayer diary, because we pray for each other just day by day. So this past week, we prayed for Sholmiat and Sylvia and Shabana, including her sons Solomon and Jonathan, Becky, Sarinda, Imogen, and today we prayed for Lucy Stone. What a great aid in growing in our love for one another by praying for each other. What better encouragement can you hear than someone saying to you, I was praying for you this week. We remembered as your church on Wednesday. How are you doing? Well, we welcome one another as we meet as members on a Tuesday. Memberships is really important at Kensington. The members' meetings are really important. We actually, at that meeting, welcomed one of our international workers called Ben Keane, who stood on that stage and shared some really important news for you. If you're a member of the church, membership meetings are really important. They display our love, our care for one another as the family of God. And we welcome each other into our homes and hospitality and spending time together and caring for each other. We welcome each other on Sundays, as I said, as we read and sing and praise and pray. Welcomed in Christ, the love of God poured into our hearts, we then welcome one another with this kind of church family that we've just been speaking about. And then, and only then, will we be ready to welcome the newcomer. See how that gospel progress works there. Who we are in Christ, our hearts changed and filled. the church family loving each other, and then, hey, we're ready to welcome number three, the newcomer. Now, I know I've taken a while to get there, like 15 minutes, like to speak about that. But listen, how we are, us as a church family, our love for one another, displaying that, is so important if we're really going to effectively welcome someone new, a stranger. If we are cold in our love for Jesus and for one another, we are never in a million years going to welcome the outsider, the newcomer, effectively. No way. In January, I was 50, okay? Which means half my life I've been a pastor of a church. So the last 25 years, well, actually, 18 years a pastor of a church. Before that, I worked for a couple of churches. So the last 25 years, a church that struggles in its love for Jesus and its love for one another is never going to welcome the outsider, the newcomer. It's never going to happen. Instead, actually, those verses I just read from Romans 12 will sound like this. It'll be a people of insincerity, who have no concern about their sin, no devotion for one another, no zeal or spiritual fervor, no hope, no patience, no faithfulness in prayer. They will lack caring for God's people who are in need. They will show no hospitality. That will be the kind of church. Now, what kind of newcomer, what kind of welcome is a newcomer, is someone from the outside going to receive there? They are going to receive a better welcome in a pub than in that kind of church. Frankly, who wants that? We experience plenty of being an outsider, of feeling on the outside of things, feeling on the margins in our lives. In church, we should feel the very opposite. The welcome of Christ poured out through his welcoming people. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, describes it like this. The writer there says, now, listen to how he starts the verse. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So there it is, loving one another. And then he says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You see what he's saying there? Outward hearts, loving Christ, loving his people, ready to welcome in the stranger, welcome in the newcomer. Actually, those words that he used would have made the first readers think about Genesis 18 and a man in the Old Testament called Abraham who welcomed in three strangers in Genesis 18 and showed great respect and great hospitality. It would have made the people think, yes, this is how we are called to welcome those who come in amongst us who are new. New to the surroundings. All of us know what that's like, don't we? We all know what it is like to arrive into a situation, into a room where you feel completely on your own, where you feel like the outsider, you don't know anyone, everyone else seems to know each other, they've been greeting one another, you feel like the odd one out. All of us know what it means to be in a room where perhaps you're the only man in the room, or the only woman, or the only young person, or the only old person, the only black person, the only white person, perhaps dressed in a different way to the others. All of us know what that is like. And so in such situations, as people come in, we want to welcome them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, in another letter called 1 Corinthians, he described the heart of welcoming the newcomer, the stranger, like this. He said, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those not having the law, so those who weren't Jews, I became like one not having the law. To the weak I became the weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. You see, Paul there is looking outward, looking for the newcomer, looking for the new arrival, looking for the outsider, and thinking, how can I reach out? How can I welcome in? How much, brothers and sisters, does that reflect our hearts in welcoming people into this room on Sundays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays? A survey I read this past week of how people experience welcome in a church was really revealing. It said the top two most welcoming characteristics that people have experienced in coming into a church for the first time was someone sitting next to them, offering to sit next to them where they were. That blows people away. The best way we can welcome someone is by saying, hey, this is my name. What's your name? Can I sit next to you? Do you see how other person-centered that is? Spending time with people, sitting with them, learning their name, you sharing your name, perhaps introducing them to others around them. This is the basic way of welcoming. As we have been welcomed by Christ, so we welcome others. That sitting next to someone in their seat is obviously completely opposite to asking a newcomer, a stranger, to move from the seat that they're in because they're sat in your seat. Now, we might laugh at that, but that made the list of the top 10 most frequent unwelcoming ways to meet an outsider, to welcome in someone. Where if someone will come into church, will have sat down, and someone will come up and someone say, oh, could you move from your seat, please? That's where I sit. Let God forbid that we ever do that, speak in that way. It's also very, very different, isn't it? That kind of welcome where we sit next to someone, where we introduce ourselves, where we see people who are new. It's very different to just remaining in holy huddles where we talk with our friends and familiar faces and we watch the newcomer, we watch the stranger, the outsider pass by. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Easton Eats is a great time and place to be able to welcome people. To be able to circle some chairs or get alongside someone with a plate of food and speak to someone that you don't know or who looks very new or perhaps is sitting on their own and welcoming them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is really easy in Easton Eats to have a long conversation with someone you know really, really well and to do that with someone who sat on their own right in front of you, who might be very new to church. To welcome them as Christ has welcomed us means to gently pull them into the conversation, perhaps to tap them on the shoulder or circle round and sit with them, include them into your conversation. We can pick up conversations with friends at other times, can't we? Through email or a phone call or a coffee or evening service or serving together. We want to welcome people. Welcome the outsider as Christ has welcomed us. This is how Pete Dyer, one of our elders, got us thinking about being a welcoming church at the members meeting on Tuesday. He asked all of us who was on the welcome team last Sunday. And he made us all write down the names of people that we could remember. So we tried to think, oh yeah, when we came into church, who was on the welcome team? And then when we gave our answers, Pete Dyer told us that all of us were wrong. He said all of us are on the welcome team. All of us, as we're part of a church family here, are called to welcome those around us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about welcoming newcomers? As part of living in Easton, as we think about our locality here in Easton, we want to be aware of the culture of Easton, don't we? People's situations, perhaps the special needs, difficulties. We want to be able to reach out and welcome in love. We want to understand where people are coming from, the values, the ways of living, the customs that people have, to be self-aware as a church of where we meet together. And it's important as we think about culture, we also think ethnically. We're privileged to meet and gather in such a diverse area here in Easton. People living in Easton make up so many different ethnicities. Welcoming in means celebrating the ethnic diversity amongst us and in our community. means learning and giving space to the many different languages and practices and cultures and values we have. For believers of different ethnicities, what an attractive church family that makes us. For people who don't know the Lord Jesus, what a picture of the gospel that is. Because we want to say this morning, brothers and sisters, that there is no such thing as ethnic superiority. That is racism. And the good news of Jesus knows nothing about that. And followers of Jesus should have nothing to do with it. We need to say sorry if in any way we imagine that our ethnic way of expressing love and following Jesus, if we think that's the right way, the best way, and that other ethnic expressions of love and obedience to Jesus are somehow inferior. You want a church in a multi-ethnic community to die, then practice that kind of ethnic superiority. And you know when a church dies like that, a church that thinks it's superior to other cultures and ethnicities, we say good riddance to that church. When does the welcome of someone come to an end? We think of welcoming, how we go about it, sitting with somebody, getting to know them, building relationships, introducing. When does welcome come to an end? Well, I think it's a lot longer than we think. Much later than we think. We want to welcome in a way that develops genuine relationships, that sees people drawn into our family life, builds relationships with others. If a newcomer doesn't know the Lord Jesus, we want them to come to know Jesus, to love them, walk with them, welcome them back. We pray that they'll read the Bible, read it some more, hear about Jesus, love and follow him. And if a newcomer does follow Jesus, then we pray that as we welcome them and they keep returning, if they do, then they'll settle and regularly attend and become a member of the church. Membership at Kensington is really important. We value it highly as a biblical principle. I read this week Pastor Thabiti Anabwali. He put it like this. He said, most of the practices and commands given to the New Testament church lose all their meaning if membership is not practiced and visibly identifiable. It's vital to the way that we love one another in Christ and welcome in the outsider, the newcomer, that we are part of the body of Christ. We're members of the local church. If you are a regular at Kensington, we encourage you into membership. And if you want to know more about this, you've been coming a while now and you're thinking, oh, I'm settled at Kensington and I'd like to know more about the church and how it works, how it operates, then we want to welcome you at Eastern Eats to a pudding reception in the Muller Hall during pudding time. So Pete Dyer, one of our elders, I don't think Pete Dyer is in the room. Yes, he is. So Pete will come down to the front now as I'm finished. So Pete, you come and join me here. So Pete, one of our elders, is going to be putting on that little pudding reception. It's no cost. The Eastern Eats is free. We really encourage people to join us for Eastern Eats. You don't have to have signed up. There's no cost. And if you've been coming for a while to Kensington and you think, yeah, this is my home, but I've never been to kind of like a little welcoming spot, like a little welcoming information time, then say hello to Pete. Pete will be during Eastern Eats, during the reception time, in the back hall. What's the name of that hall, Pete? And Pete, how long will that time be? It will be.
Okay, it's just a few minutes. There'll be hot drinks, cold drinks, some cake. We've even got gluten-free cake for those of you who have an allergy. We'll just present you with a little bit of history of Kensington, a little bit of where we come from, where we are now, what we do, how you can be involved. Very low-key, and then there'll be a Q&A at the end. So if you have questions that you want to ask, then you can ask those questions, and we'll attempt to answer them, or we'll get back to you with the answers later. Okay?
Thanks, Pete. We hope to run those welcoming times much more frequently. But as I say, it really, Pete, as he chats with you, it's a real first look. It'll be really relaxed. Do come along to that during the pudding time at Eastern Eats. If you haven't thought about staying for Eastern Eats, then please do. Do you remember where we started? We started right at the beginning with Ella and her three children struggling to get to church. and receiving a pretty ordinary welcome. And I'm sure we need to repent here at Kensington, where we've often been less than welcoming to those around us. We want to address that. As Christ has welcomed us, as God has gifted us by our personalities, some of us are more outgoing than others. We just want to be aware and wise of how we welcome others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we can do that faithfully. How we can do that in a way that demonstrates the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We have been welcomed, point one, in Christ. And as a result, we want to be a welcoming family that loves each other deeply from the heart. And as a result of that, we want to be ready and willing to welcome those who are new amongst us and give them the welcome that we have received and pray that they would either come to know the Lord Jesus or join our church family as we look to be a witness here in Easton and beyond. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ when we were far away and without hope, without God in the world. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we, your people here at Kensington, love and follow Christ, we would deepen in our love for one another. And Lord, we would more faithfully and obediently and warmly welcome in those who are new amongst us. Lord, we pray we would put to death spirit of self-centeredness and self-preoccupation. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'd be bold and brave, even if it's nerve-wracking for some of us, just to greet one another and welcome new people, Lord, here into church with the welcome that you have given us. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.